Hey guys, what's up?
Hi.
This is kind of the first episode of this little podcast thing we're doing.
Should we go to our baseball voices? Hello and welcome, 2019 Blip Sounds Episode 1 podcast.
Today we're talking about sound design. Do you guys know about sound design? We got lots of topics about sound design.
Whitey Ford on the field pleading for some kind of sanity. It's a black day for baseball.
This is good.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is kind of just a little thing we're going to start doing. Decided to do a podcast because we started doing like the vlog style videos and those were pretty good. This is super behind the scenes.
Yes, this is inside baseball, as I like to call it.
But everyone's going to love baseball references throughout
this
entire
day. No one loves baseball. That's what's great about this.
I actually enjoy baseball, but I know that most people don't, so I'm okay with the joke. So yeah, we started with the vlog stuff, and it, like just my face in front of that green screen behind me, but it doesn't really work out that well, because I feel like I can talk about a lot of this stuff really in depth, but I feel like the sword gets sharpened over time. The conversational sword of like, you can ask me a question or you can say like, oh, this sucks.
I've never heard
for this reason and I disagree with that and I can be like, yeah, you're right. Or no, actually it's this because that, and you get the idea. So yeah, here we are. So I wanted to talk about a cool thing. I guess we should introduce ourselves. I'm Ryan Stunkel. I'm the founder of Blip Sounds. And I'm the guy in the cartoon that you see on the website and such.
And I'm Chris Parker interrupting Ryan as the editor of most things that you see and hear at this point.
Yeah, and Chris is also a moderator in the community. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Except for anything that Brian does, because he keeps that to himself. Yeah. Despite my best efforts to force him to stop.
Love you, Brian. So, yeah.
He may join us someday. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he'll pop on for one or two.
We have a lot of very special guests.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, totally. Up. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, this is where we're going to start doing the interviews from now on. This is where we're going to start doing, we're probably going to see a lot of YouTube videos come from this. Honestly, if you guys have like questions or topics or anything, post them in the Discord server for the Game Audio Training Series. We'd love to see what you guys have to offer. This is all for the Game Audio Training Series. Anybody who has access to this is subscribed to the Game Audio Training Series,
mm-hmm.
Other than YouTube.
So if you're hearing this, thanks, good work.
Yeah, appreciate it for sure. Yeah, good work. Good work. The first thing, so I want to talk about just some like really basic stuff I feel like is really important in the game audio world that a lot of people don't really know or like know how to think about. And this is actually a question that I get a lot. People can break down like art or music into different facets of what creates it. Like for music, you could break it down into rhythm, maybe instrumentation if you want to call it that. And then melody, harmony, all that stuff. And then art can be color, shape, contrast, composition. So I kind of want to talk about like what makes up a sound effect. And I was kind of curious on what your, because you make sound effects.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes.
Sometimes on purpose.
Sometimes on purpose. Sometimes it's just me screaming into a microphone and I don't know what to do with myself.
That makes sound effects too. That's how you make monster sounds.
Yeah, stay tuned for a new Blip Sounds video where I scream into a microphone and pretend I teach you how to do monster sounds.
Yes. And we just covered up as being perfectly sane because that's,
yep, because I'm sane.
This is all gold, by the way. Solid gold. So you want to know what my definition of sound effects is?
Yeah, like how would you break down? What's your like approach, I guess? Because so I have my own definition that I like to go by. Would you like to hear mine first, or would you?
Yes.
Okay. So this is,
I've never had to define it this way before.
So this is like something that's really helpful for me, just to like think about the different parts that I can change and move around in a single sound effect. What I think makes up a sound effect is pitch, volume, frequency, envelope, and theme. Those are all like the interchangeable things in my mind. Oh, and then dynamics. No, dynamics and volume are kind of the same though. So you can interchange that to be however you want it to be.
It was very categorical. It was very, I'll take dynamics for 200 type of envelope.
Actually, I don't even know how to describe dynamics in the form of an answer for Jeopardy or whatever.
What is dynamics?
Yeah, what would you say? Like, the thing where you have volume loud and soft between each other.
I would say the measurement of range between the loudest and quietest part of a sound.
Yeah, I agree with that. Dynamics is that. Pitch, I say, is the highness or the lowness of a sound effect. And I feel like it's usually in accordance to the size of an object. I don't really use pitch for anything else other than like how big or small I want something to sound. Like if I talk in a low voice like this, you're imagining like, I mean, obviously it'd be better if I actually designed it, but like you could imagine like a big burly, like giant troll Ryan. Whereas like if I'm up here very high pitched, then you're probably imagining a little Ryan that can fit in your hand. And it's kind of interesting because people complicate pitch a lot. And I think that they also mix up pitch and frequency a lot. Frequency is the one that I have the most trouble really defining, because frequency is like,
well, I mean, if you were to define it by, you know, the waveform terms, it's the frequency, the regularity with which you get the peaks of the highest and the lowest point of a waveform.
Yeah, it's the oscillating sound waves that are pushing out from a sound source. It's the vibrations.
Yeah, so you've got low frequencies are very stretched, and so they're far apart, and then the high frequencies are compacted, so they're very sharp, like saw teeth.
Right. And frequency, though, I think is something that you obviously control with an equalizer, but I think that it's a very underutilized tool. Like a lot of people, they'll hear a sound effect and they'll think, oh, I need to pitch this down to make it sound lower. But a lot of times, and people who have seen the Game Audio Training series through the Brom Glacial Fissure or the like Spin Attack or the Greninja Water Shuriken, you'll see that we actually just cut off the high frequencies for a lot of sounds. And cutting out those high frequencies actually give the impression that it's actually much, much lower than it sounds just by cutting out the higher frequencies. And
yeah, because frequency adjustments really aren't changing anything. They're just changing the volume of stuff that exists. Whereas a pitch would be to like make something actually lower, go from 500 to 200.
Right, you can't take a part of a sound and change the pitch of that part of the sound. You're usually just making an entire audio file. Yeah, so I guess pitch would be just be like more of a macro, like an overarching like.
Oh yeah, because it changes the whole sound, and you can't single out individual elements of it.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then envelope, which is usually to me, it's like the aggressiveness of a sound. I would say something that's softer is obviously going to have like a very slow attack. Like you know what an envelope is, right?
Well, I assume. I mean, when you talk about like you can make all sorts of envelope adjustments, it's essentially the space of the time it takes from the beginning of the sound to the end.
Yeah.
And then you can make changes over that span of time. And anything, all those changes exist within the envelope. But I don't know how you would apply it to like attack.
Which part? What do you mean?
Well, like you said, you know, an envelope, you can have a soft attack or
a quicker, a slow attack.
Oh, so yeah, I guess it would be the envelope, I suppose, in this definition is the space of time that the sound takes to finish, just from start to finish.
Yeah. I usually say like how the volume of the sound acts over time, usually is what I say.
Oh, okay.
Which is basically what you just said.
But you can do so much more in an envelope than just adjust the volume.
Correct. Well, kind of, because the volume is literally just...
Because, I mean, but then you can like do pitch over time and like reverb over time. Like.
Right. No, you're right. So envelope is kind of very dynamic in that sense where it can apply to pitch, it can apply to frequency, because you can move like a single band on an EQ and move that all the way across. That's basically your envelope change. Same thing with volume, you can make that be louder than softer. And then if you look at a synthesizer, there's just endless things that you can do with envelope settings, like low pass, high pass filters, applying it to reverbs, applying it to pitch shifters. I mean, there's so much stuff you can do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, synths are a different world that I know almost nothing about.
Yeah. So I would say that I think that envelope generally, though, like when I talk about it, I try and apply it to just volume.
Okay.
Just to make it a little bit simpler. You're right, though. It does apply to more than just that. Envelope, I would say, is very much like, I guess it kind of applies to like the story of the sound effect, like the story arc, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, just the container within which everything changes from the beginning of the sound to the end of it.
Yeah, pretty much. Like it's just a story arc. It's like, yo, you have a loud part, which is really exciting. This is the most thrilling part of the story or the movie, and then like the denouement at the end.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. I'm throwing French term at you guys. I'm throwing French. That's right. I know French. Bonjour.
I believe that was a light chicken gravy, I think, is what you were describing.
You know French, too.
I do. I know it well.
I know for a fact we have people that are listening to this from France. So, hey, guys.
Yeah, they're clawing at their screens or whatever. whatever they're listening to this with. I don't know if they have video or not, but
they just hit unsubscribe to the Game Audio Training series.
Perfect. Yeah, I can hear everybody dropping out now.
Good. Anyway, remember the last thing, which I think is also very important, is the theme of the sound effect. Do you know what theme implies?
I mean, if you were to make a sound effect, swords, for example, you would probably use a lot of metal things.
Yep.
Where it just, you know, you don't use water to make lava sounds. I mean, you probably would. That's a bad example. But not like rock sounds.
Right, right. Yeah. No, you wouldn't light rocks on fire to make lava sounds. But, well, I guess you could.
I mean,
honestly, it'd probably work. It'd probably work.
Yeah, we're fucking this all up. But
I think the easiest way to define thematic sound design is it's easiest with animation, usually.
All right.
Any of the same ones I mentioned earlier, the Brom Glacial Fissure, like you did all the early competitions, right?
So just, I mean, define early.
Brom's Glacial Fissure, the Marth Shieldbreaker.
Yes, Marth Shieldbreaker was the first one I did.
Okay. Oh, because that was right after PAX West, right? Mm-hmm. So you probably use, like, if you're doing Marth Shieldbreaker, you're probably doing something with, like, metal. You're probably doing, like, some whooshes in the air, stuff like that.
Shattering sounds. I tried to use broken glass to help with that one a lot.
Yeah, oh, for Shieldbreaker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It just, like, anything breaking, really. And then something like Nautilus's Riptide, which was an early one, I believe, that we did.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I skipped.
Okay.
Wasn't it? Yes. Because that's the... No, I skipped the Glacial Fissure. I don't know the Riptide one. So I probably skipped that one too, yeah.
So for Riptide, it's interesting because it has Nautilus, who's made of metal, and then there's also just water splashes. So, you know, you can put that together just to, like, oh, I need water splashes and I also need metal sounds.
Yeah, it's just you're not going to use an apple to make glass breaking noises. That doesn't make any sense.
Right, pretty much. But at the same time, I think that also informs, like, what kind of source recordings you choose.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you could use water for Greninja's Water Shuriken because he's all made of water, but you could also use something that's close to water. You can kind of, if water is inside the box, then, like, a little bit outside of the box would be to use something like olive oil or to use something like, I don't know, chocolate syrup or oranges or watermelon, just like something that might be a little bit thicker.
Yeah, yeah. It's like wet, but it's not water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like when you start dealing with like gunshots and explosions, like you can't make an explosion. You can't just go blow something apart.
Right.
So you have to, you know, it's a little bit more complicated with those things, but
I mean, you can blow something apart, but like it's not,
it's going to disappoint you.
That's true. No, that's true. You mean they're designed is what you mean.
Right. Well, yeah, if you were to just like, well, I need to make a sound effect of an explosion, so I'm going to take
right
a bunch of gasoline and put it in a bucket, like,
yeah,
and try to blow it up. The sound you get from that will disappoint you, and it will not be what you want to put on the animation you've made.
Right, and that's why I brought up the like envelope thing earlier of like the aggressiveness of a sound effect.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a fast attack on an explosion sound effect, it just all of a sudden isn't exciting or aggressive, or like it doesn't have that punch.
Right, it's just thunder.
Exactly, and then I feel like there comes a point with thematic sound design, at least, it gets a little tricky to like start thinking of what kind of source recordings you can use. So like, how would you make a punch sound effect, Chris? I know we're working on a video that talks about punching sounds and I told you literally how to
Shut
do
up.
It. I was gonna totally just ride off of that and
yeah, just ask the goddamn question. I don't know. Probably hit something. Slapping, something that happens very quickly, like a snap, slap,
right.
You know, snap, crack, and pop. A whole cereal box full of punches waiting to happen.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like so when I actually started making sound effects, I had to make a punch sound effect. I actually tried using, like, raw meat is what I used.
Mm.
So, and the reason is because it's just, like, flesh on flesh, like, muscle on muscle kind of, like, mindset.
It is. You get the slap, but there's a bit more squish to it because it's meat, you know.
Yeah. And then theme also can apply to beyond just, like, what you see in front of you. It can also be, like, the lore behind a character.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I work on any sort of contract gig, I always ask what the lore of characters are, because to me, it can imply a lot of like who the character is, and you can portray that through the sound design. When I was helping out with King of the Hat, there's a character called Zoe who is a scarecrow character, and I was like, okay, maybe I should use like dirt, like, you know, or wood, or like just sounds like that, because it's kind of earthy and it's like almost like she's on a farm. And have you seen Akash do his talk on the stethoscope microphone that he did?
I did. I watched the video that he made of how he put it together, but I don't think I've seen him actually use it for anything.
So I'm pretty sure the developer of Hyperlight Drifter actually has like a heart problem.
That's interesting.
That's really interesting, right?
I didn't know that.
The developer name for Hyperlight Drifter is called Heart Machine.
Perfect. That's where you got it.
Yeah, so that's where he got it, and I think that Heart Machine was called that because he had some sort of heart issue.
Neat.
So that's cool. Oh, yeah, he had a heart disease. Yeah, it says so right here. But thematic sound design, I just think, is a really interesting topic overall, just to like, because I think that allows you to be as creative as you want it to be. Like, Akash didn't have to do any of the stethoscope stuff, like, and it's super cool, and it's obviously like brilliant to like get a unique source recording in that way. But I think that it just kind of, any reason that you can have to inform your sound design creatively, I think that's an opportunity that should be taken at any point that you can.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting too, because it's like, if you were not subscribing to the ethos of thematic sound design, what are you doing? How are you making sounds if they don't have anything to do with the sound that you're trying to make?
Right, and I think there's a way to like, I think it's really good to ask yourself why you're creating something in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I created this sound and I used this source recording. Why did I do this? If you don't have a reason, then it's like...
Yeah. Yeah, the Chrono Trigger competition video, like finding out that attack in the animation was an ice move was really disappointing, because I thought it was a lightning move, and that's why I built the...
I did too.
Yeah, exactly, because it's called Arc Impulse. Like, what the hell is ice about that? Nothing. But... apparently it's an ice move, and I built it as a lightning move, and that's why
I like how we're both like on like the top end of like the blip sounds chain, and we're both just like, well, I had no idea.
Yeah, and somebody said in one of the comments, or I think on one of the channels, that it was an ice move, and I was like, no, that's silly, and then I just ignored it, and then Brian said something about it in the video, and I was like, well, god damn it, like, yeah. I built this entire thing around it being a lightning move. That's why there's this whole thunder section right after the actual attack, because it's lightning move.
Now imagine if you were actually making sounds for Chrono Trigger, and there was like a fire, rock, paper, scissors element, like grass, water, fire from Pokemon or whatever, and you didn't make it sound like a nice sound, but it was super effective against grass type, or you know, something like that, and within the world of Chrono Trigger. That's not how Chrono Trigger works, but like, you know, if having that sound like ice is really important in that context.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well,
tune in next time for the completion of these three topics.
Yeah, pretty much. Expect this weekly on the Game Audio Training Series. Thanks for watching, everyone. Definitely let us know your thoughts on thematic sound design and what makes up a sound effect to you, and let us know where we messed up, because we mess up a lot and we're not perfect. So, and we love to discuss this stuff and see what we can do to, you know, just explore and learn about sound design and such.
There's nothing the internet is better at than telling people in podcasts where they're wrong. So we will have no problem with that.
Exactly. We would love that.
Yes. I can't wait to hear about all of that.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Until next time. I mean, you know where to find us. So we're not going to plug any sites because you paid for this. And if you didn't pay for this, you don't get to know, because you cheated and you're a shithead.
Yeah, that's right. All right, see ya. You should be the next Alex Trebek.
The only thing I'm missing is a tumor.